Truth News Network. He takes care of business every day. A showdown with the truth. Conservative thought, not just talk. TNN, the Truth News Network. Dan Newman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Truth News Network. I'm Dan Newman. I am really glad you're here today. We're into part two of our story today, and of course, it's titled, Who is Going to Be the 2020 Presidential Candidate for the Democrat Party? In part one of this story, we eliminated most of the 2020 Democrat presidential candidates and revealed who we think will represent Democrats in the 2020 general election for president. Senator Kamala Harris, Democrat of California. I probably don't need to say this, but I'm going to anyway. We don't know she will be the pick. But based on our investigations of her personally, her political and private records, and her actions in her campaigning so far, and the public's reception of her and her ideas, she seems to be the cookie-cutter perfect choice for Democrats. And let me just say this. If she should not turn out to be the winner, don't throw rocks at me. There will be a Democrat that will run, and whoever that is, male or female, there are going to be a lot of issues that we're going to be exposing. Along the way, make sure you stay with us. And don't forget this, I was the very first, even before he declared he was going to run for president, I was the very first commentator to predict Donald Trump would win the presidency in 2016. I was laughed at then, and you can laugh at me now. We'll just see when it comes out if it's a laughing matter or not. Remember this, none of what we do here will be politically partisan. All know the Truth News Network is not representative of the Republican Party, has no ties to either party. I am not a registered Republican. Both Truth News Network collectively and I personally are conservative, however. Our representations in our writings and podcasts show that political perspective. Sometimes I actually agree with some thoughts of those less conservative than I and relate those here when I do feel that way. And certainly, I don't represent the political positions of anyone other than me. I just know many share the same thoughts and perspectives. Most importantly, most, like me, have discovered over the last decade or so that few in the sector someone termed a long time ago as mainstream present similar thoughts, ideas, and political positions as those with which I identify. That applies to many Truth News Network partners. Today and in subsequent offerings here, we will give you truth about Senator Warren's stances on particular issues that have impacted Americans in really dramatic ways in her political past, and certainly will impact Americans going forward should she win the 2020 Democrat Party primary and the general election. Please note, there are many alarming things about the senator. She's been before the public in numerous settings in numerous ways for years now. She has a record. Fortunately, her record is much more readily available than some other candidates for us to examine. Examine her records we have, exhaustively, and have done so for months, and exhaustive research here will continue. Speaking of continuing, let's continue what we began yesterday. We looked at 10 of Senator Kamala Harris's issues, perspectives, and things that happened in her past. Let's look at the next 10. We'll start with number 11. Some have asked tough questions about whether Harris, as San Francisco district attorney, did everything she could to root out abuse in the local Catholic churches. San Francisco is heavily Catholic. Prosecutors had obtained personnel files from the Archdiocese of San Francisco dealing with sexual abuse going back for decades. But her office did not prosecute a single priest, and she argued that those records were not subject to public records laws. In 2005, while she was San Francisco's DA, Harris rebuffed a public records request by San Francisco Weekly to release personnel files from the Archdiocese of San Francisco. Her predecessor had planned to make them public after prosecuting criminal priests, but the California Supreme Court stopped those cases when it declared unconstitutional a 2002 law that lifted the criminal statute of limitations. Similar archives in Boston had exposed the scope of the scandal there. "We're not interested in selling out our victims to look good in the paper," Harris told SF Weekly in a statement. This, even though many of those victims pleaded with her to release the documents to the public. Number 12, in 2004, San Francisco police officer Isaac Espinoza was shot and killed by David Hill, a young gang member with an AK-47. Hill also shot another officer in the leg. Days after Hill's arrest, then-District Attorney Harris announced that her office would not seek the death penalty. This prompted Senator Dianne Feinstein to declare, while speaking at Espinoza's funeral, quote, "This is not only the definition of tragedy, it's the special circumstance called for by the death penalty law," end quote. The comment drew a standing ovation from the crowd of mostly police. Hill was ultimately sentenced to life without parole. Feinstein later told reporters that if she'd known Harris was against the death penalty, she probably wouldn't have endorsed her for DA in the very first place. In 2009, Harris again received criticism for refusing to pursue the death penalty against Edwin Ramos, an illegal immigrant and member of MS-13 who gunned down a father and two sons. As a teenager, Ramos twice served probation for violent crimes but was not deported. Ramos was sentenced to 183 years to life without parole. Number 13. Harris's most financially significant decision as state attorney general came in 2012 when she negotiated a $25 billion settlement deal with the nation's five largest mortgage companies, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, City Financial, GMAC, Ally Financial, and Wells Fargo. She did so after the companies were accused of improper foreclosure practices. By 2013, the state reported that California homeowners had received $18.4 billion in mortgage relief from that deal. When all was said and done, roughly 33,000 homeowners received an average reduction of $137,280 on their first mortgage. That sounds like a lot until you look at the scale of the problem. More than 600,000 Californians received a foreclosure notice in 2009. And in 2012, when the agreement was struck, more than 30% of California homeowners with mortgages owed more than their houses were worth. Number 14 out of 20. One bank that was not part of Harris's settlement was California-based One West. A 2013 internal memo from the California AG's office, first published by The Intercept, alleged that One West and its CEO, Stephen Mnuchin, violated state foreclosure laws and recommended filing charges against him. Prosecutors claimed they had uncovered evidence suggestive of widespread misconduct and identified over 1,000 legal violations. But Harris, the state attorney general, did not pursue those charges. She later told The Hill, quote, "We went and we followed the facts and the evidence, and it's a decision my office made. We pursued it just like any other case. We go and we take a case wherever the facts lead us," she said. In 2016, Mnuchin, who would soon be President Trump's nominee to be Secretary of the Treasury, donated $2,000 to Harris's Senate campaign. She voted against his confirmation anyway. For nearly 90 years, California state law prohibited images of handguns from being used in signs for handgun stores. In 2014, after Harris's office cited several gun shops, they sued, arguing that the law violated the First Amendment. Harris's office argued that the law was needed to prevent handgun-related crime and suicide. Last year, 2018, a federal judge ruled the government has provided no direct evidence linking the law to reduced handgun suicide or crime, and concluded that the law was a highly paternalistic approach to limiting speech and declared it unconstitutional on its face. Number 16, starting in 1993, Harris began dating Willie Brown, then the Speaker of the California Assembly, and later a candidate for mayor of San Francisco, a relationship that brought her in contact with many of the city's political and financial movers and shakers. Early in 94, Brown named her as his appointee to the state's Unemployment Insurance Appeals Board, a job that paid $97,088 a year. 6 months later, he named her to the California Medical Assistance Commission, a post which paid $72,000 a year. In 1994, press accounts described Harris as Brown's girlfriend. He was still married and in his early 60s. She had just turned 30. The relationship had a surprising and tumultuous end, as James Richardson describes in Willie Brown, a biography. Columnist Herb Kane all but predicted 2 days after the election that Brown would wed Kamala Harris, his constant companion throughout the campaign. "Keep an eye on these two," Kane wrote. No mention was made of what Brown would do about Blanche, to whom he was still married. But the day after Christmas, Brown stunned his friends by announcing that he was breaking up with Kamala. Brown invited Blanche to appear with him on stage for a swearing-in and to hold a Bible. A television reporter from KPIX caught up to Blanche, who had kept a low profile throughout the campaign, and asked her what it was like to live with the future mayor. Difficult was her one-word answer. And then, late last year, again, 2018, Los Angeles city officials asked why armed plainclothes LAPD officers were dispatched to California cities outside of Los Angeles at least a dozen times to provide security for U.S. Senator Kamala Harris at public events. LAPD officers travel with Harris to San Francisco, Sacramento, Fresno, and San Diego. If you know California, those cities aren't very close together. Los Angeles taxpayers covered about $28,000 of the cost for airline tickets, hotel stays, car rentals, and meals in an arrangement that retired law enforcement officers called unprecedented. Number 18, in 2009 and 2010, Harris contributed to the liberal blog Daily Kos, where she characterized the opposition to Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor as bigotry and narrow-mindedness, warning that Texas oil companies were invading California by funding efforts to repeal an initiative requiring reductions in greenhouse gas emissions, and opposed Arizona's since-struck-down immigration law, declaring that we can't afford to divert scarce local law enforcement resources to enforcing federal immigration laws. Number 19, Harris has proposed a sweeping tax reform that would create a refundable tax credit for all workers, peaking at $3,000 for single adults, $6,000 for married couples, meaning that taxpayers could collect cash even if they don't actually owe any taxes. In other words, you and I would pay those that don't pay taxes as much as $6,000 per couple. The worth of the credit would decline the higher a taxpayer's income, eventually reaching zero for childless single adults making more than $50,000 a year, single adults with children making more than $80,000 a year, and married couples with children making more than $100,000 a year. The plan would repeal all of the 2017 tax cuts for earners making more than $100,000, would cost roughly $2.5 trillion to $3 trillion over 10 years, would constitute a serious marriage penalty, according to experts. And then finally, number 20. In April of this year, 2019, Harris made an appearance on the Ellen DeGeneres Show, where the hostess asked, if you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be? Harris replied, does one of us have to come out alive? We've got some very important comments for you in our summary. We're going to wrap things up and give you that special upcoming event that we want you to participate in right after this at truthnewsnet.org.
We don't tell you what to think,
but we give you truth to think about. This is TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.
Humankind has a problem. Experts estimate 1 in 3 crashes are caused by distracted driving. But nobody listens to the people telling people to stop. What we need is a non-person drivers will actually pay attention to. Introducing Smart Dogs. The first dogs trained to train humans. Smart Dogs will be at their best when you're at your worst. Stopping drivers from liking, selfieing, and whatever this is. These Smart Dogs are about to be unleashed to keep you from driving dumb.
No, Cedric. Cedric, no.
So, when will they be available to the public? Never. Smart dogs are not the answer. But Geico has a simple tip. Turn on Do Not Disturb While Driving mode.
This message has been brought to you by Geico.
What is Coca-Cola? Is it an excuse to get together? Since 1886, Coca-Cola has been passing on smiles from generation to generation. We've been giving kids scholarships, like the early birds and the all-nighters. And you get to enjoy what matters most. Coca-Cola. Drink up.
Not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant. See and hear it first at truthnewsnet.org.
Hello and welcome back. We are discussing Kamala Harris, Senator from California, and we have decided she is the probable pick for the Democrat Party to run for president on their ticket for 2020, and it's probably going to be against the incumbent, President Donald Trump. Partisanship and identity politics may be sufficient to propel a candidate like Harris to a win in party primaries today, but will it be sufficient to score a victory in a general election? Obviously, the heavyweights at the Democrat National Committee think they can be successful with that philosophy. So far, every candidate on both debate stages have espoused the most radical views on all things American of any previous group of Democrat presidential candidates. We've heard over and over and over again, Democrat candidates must campaign further to the left to win their primaries. Once named the Democrat Party nominee, they move to the center for the general election. Doesn't that seem just a bit hypocritical to you? What message does that send to Democrat primary voters? Like, I'm going to give free everything to everybody, health care, college tuition, reparations to descendants of American slaves, and a guaranteed income. Only then to tell voters in the general election, I was just kidding. Everyone knows if elected, I'll govern from the center to the center left. Because they have to get to the center to get those moderate Democrats to vote for them in a general election. God forbid that in America, truth and actual policy issues as supported or rejected by candidates would mean less than talking points and political mantra by candidates for office. Democrats simply don't get it. Americans are not stupid. We all watch, we all read, and we all listen to what candidates say and what they promise during primary and general election seasons. We don't just erase everything off the chalkboard after the primaries and let them rewrite the whole thing before the general election. Or do these Democrat candidates think Americans, especially those in their own party, are stupid? That's one we can't answer. What do you think? I'd like to hear from you. Weigh in by dropping an email to dan@truthnewsnet.org. That's dan@truthnewsnet.org. I'd like to hear your opinion. Now, here's that special announcement I wanted to make, and it's a very important note. Tomorrow, right here, we are sharing a critical analysis of what is really going on regarding illegal immigration. I say critical because we now have a responsibility to make sure everyone in our circles of influence understand exactly what is going on regarding illegal immigration and exactly what and how Democrats are doing or not doing about it. You may have seen or heard about the caustic remarks, derisive statements, and the outright lies that the four freshman far-left Democrat congresswomen had to say in their press conference regarding their stances on immigration as compared to that of President Trump. This is a shout-out to the nearly 1,000 Russian students who are reading and listening to the story in today's podcast as required by the department head over international political science at Moscow University. You heard that right. I'm talking to Russians. This is required reading and listening for every international political science class at Moscow University this semester. So, this is a way and this is a place for you to find out what conservatives in America feel about immigration. For everyone else, make sure to come back and read or listen, or both. You'll want to share the story and the podcast with those you know who may still be sitting on that party fence between Republican and Democrat parties. This is not a party election. This is an American election. You can download both the story and podcast for free, just like you can every day, and share it with everyone you like. And I will see you tomorrow. Until then, have a great day. Thanks for joining us at truthnewsnet.org.
Not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant.
Real truth, real news. TNN, the Truth News Network.